I'm living a movie, not living by rules. It's just a movie, don't lose your cool.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Spoiled Movie Reviews, the official movie reviewing podcast of the Blackout Tips Premium Network, where, you know, we ask people to only listen to it if they've seen the movie, never plan on seeing the movie, or just don't give a fuck about spoilers because we spoil everything, and Penelope Cruz dies horribly in this movie.
And you never see it.
All right, man.
I'm never prepared for how you quite spoil it. You always spoil it right at the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm not even prepared. And I've seen the movie.
Oh, actually, I would say Brad Pitt's death is actually more horrible.
Oh, yeah. That was terrible. But yeah, I do wonder if anyone ever, like, just hits play on these because it'll be in that queue. And it just kind of like, oh, you know, I wonder what his movie reviews are like. And it's like, fuck him. He just ruined that movie.
Like, as they're going to turn it off.
Right.
They're like, oh, I guess I'll just... he already just said it. He already just ended it.
10 seconds in. Okay. All right. Well, you guys should recognize both of the voices on the show because they've been on here before for different movie reviews and guests on the Blackout Tips podcast. But it's JL Covan from the Righteous Prick podcast. What's going on, JL?
Hello. Thanks for having me again.
No problem, man. How's Comedy Academy coming along, man?
It's come, and thank you, obviously, but you'll get your official thank you later. But it's coming good. I'm around $2,000 right now with a week to go. So I think I'm probably not going to get to the $3,500, but I'm going to get all I look at that and say, oh, I'll be less in debt than I would have been without this campaign.
No doubt. No doubt, man. I, you know, still time. So people, if you're listening to this, you're obviously a person that pays for things. Go check them out and see if you can help them out on this Indiegogo campaign. Just search the Comedy Academy. We also have another veteran of the show. My man Chris from the Insanity Check podcast and movietrailerreviews.net. What's going on, Chris?
Nothing much, man. What's going on, guys?
I'm good. Everything's going good, man. Today's movie review is for The Counselor, and I just realized that I can actually, I don't know why I haven't been doing this in the past, but I can play clips from it just right here and right now. So I'm just going to play a clip from it and let people hear so you sound professional.
I suppose I could ask you if you've got a rat in your pocket.
You're not serious.
Well, when was the last time you tried to call him?
Yesterday. Why?
Why?
Because I couldn't reach him now, all right?
What are you going to do?
I don't know. What are you?
I don't know.
That's what Westray said, but he did know, didn't he?
What are you going to use for money?
I've got some money.
I don't think so. If you had any serious money, you wouldn't be this jackpot in the first place.
I might.
Yeah? Well, I know why I'm in it. Do you?
Sure. Same as you. Greed.
Yeah. Now, you got in trouble. Got in trouble. I tried to appeal to your greed 2 years ago. No deal. Now it's too late. It's too late.
All right. So, Javier Bardem does sound like that the entire time. this movie is about a rich and successful lawyer named, by the way, shout out to the people on IMDb who add these things in because he's not named Counselor. They just never call him anything but his position, Counselor. He's people call him the Counselor, and he's about to get married to his fiance, but soon, meets up with a middleman known as Westray, who tells him, his drug trafficking plan has taken a horrible twist, and now he must protect himself, and his soon bride-to-be lover as the truth of the drug business uncovers and targets becomes chosen. That is a person that thinks they understand the plot of this movie that wrote that, guys.
Hey, that movie actually sounds interesting.
Actually, that sounds indecipherable. I don't know what just happened in this guy's paragraph.
Actually, they did actually watch the movie then.
Well, here we have quite a conundrum here because JL loves this movie, thinks critics completely panned it and is uncalled for. Chris is one of those critics that completely panned it and felt that it was, you know, called for. And I watched it, and I'm kind of in the middle. I actually kind of enjoyed this movie. At Movie Trailer Reviews, we do the review simply. We talk about what worked, what didn't work, and then we, you know, give it a final rating on the More Epic Than Love Jones scale. So let's start first with what worked, I guess, since that'll probably be the shorter part of this for everyone, as far as not as much arguing. Chris, what worked for you with this movie?
Well, I did like the fact that the cheetahs lived at least one of the cheetahs lived at the end, because they were like the most interesting character I cared about. So at least one of those big cats lived at the end. And in all seriousness, and I think when we get into what didn't work, I realized that it's not even that the movie, I've seen bad movies before and been like enraged. This movie just made me mad, like, oh, you're insulting the fuck out of me right now. So what worked for this movie, and it's going to sound weird until I get to what didn't, the acting. It's actually got good acting in it. It's fucking amazing. I'm like, wow, they're acting their ass off in this scene. I don't care about the fucking scene or what they're talking about, but they're acting. It has really good acting.
Okay, all right. Well, Fassbender, Cruz, Diaz, Javier Bardem.
Even Diaz is acting her ass off. I'm like, wow, I've never really given a fuck about Cameron Diaz since she did The Mask and was in that tight-ass dress. She's actually... not bad right now.
Yeah. Brad Pitt and Rosie Perez also. What about you, JL? What worked for you, man?
Well, obviously a lot more worked for me since I really enjoyed the movie. Although I would say, just based on what Chris said, that reminded me of how I felt about The Master, where I was watching that movie going, wow, this is great acting and I don't know what the fuck I'm watching. But for this movie, I liked kind of the cryptic way the plot advanced, and I think I thought the acting was very good. I liked the fact that the movie had sort of this building sense of dread, and you knew it was going to end badly, but I just kept wanting to watch it. I found that very enjoyable in a kind of creepy way, and I really. Like, I think my list of things that didn't work for me is going to be pretty short. Okay. Because I just sat there and I saw that, like, it didn't have a Rotten Tomatoes rating until, like, the day before I saw it. And I knew that was a bad sign. Because usually that just says, okay, they didn't want too many people to see this. And I'm still confused why. I'm rarely so off where a movie gets panned. Like, sometimes a movie can get like a B or a C, and I'm like, nah, I really liked it or I really hated it. But I've never been sort of like, I love this movie, and the critics are like, this is a resounding piece of shit. And I liked that it was really dark. I liked it, you know, it was from the author of the guy who wrote No Country for Old Men. And I think it was sort of another movie about how greed just kind of gets out of control, and that was almost the drug, you know. Once this guy made whatever bad decision he did to just make even a one-time kind of drug deal, that kind of moral equivalent, you know, moral choice kind of sets everything in motion. And from there, it's kind of irrelevant how he got into the quandary he's in. And I really liked it because I just thought it got darker and darker. And I liked the way the plot sort of just, you know, came together for me over the course of the movie.
You know, it also feels like Ridley Scott is just having some struggles as it kind of, you know, the last few years for me, because I think Ridley Scott movie I really enjoyed, I think, was Body of Lies. But he put out Robin Hood, which I hated.
I couldn't make it through. Like, I watched like 40 minutes of it on HBO and just said, I'm bored.
It was so boring.
Can I just say that this is how I know me and Rod are cool? Because before we were bonding over The Unit, and now you just said Body of Lies. Nobody ever talks about that movie. Fucking love that movie, you.
Yeah, that's my
very
movie,
very underrated.
Dog.
Mark Strong, that dude who's been in a lot of stuff. He was great in that movie, and I didn't even realize he wasn't, like, Pakistani or Middle Eastern. Whatever he was playing, maybe Saudi. He was great. That was a movie with Russell Crowe and Leonardo DiCaprio, sort of the height of their game. And I thought he was Mark Strong was the best person in the movie.
I agree.
One of my favorite scenes is when he was like, he keeps bringing that sound of, you know, you're not concentrating if you're not thinking about pussy. And at one point, it turns to Leonardo's character and goes, you still thinking about pussy?
Yes.
The movie is so good, yo.
Yeah, man.
You mentioned that movie. I was like, Yeah, I fucking love that fucking movie. I talked about it, but
even DiCaprio's southern accent couldn't bother me at all. He's like, I'm from North Carolina. I was like, all right, close enough. Fuck it.
We'll deal with it.
To be fair, Ridley Scott's brother did kill himself a couple years ago.
Who knows
if that's having an effect. Oh,
wow. This might be the problem. Tony Scott was all the talent and motivation. Prometheus, which obviously got really bad reviews because the third act of that movie is really ridiculously haywire. And then The Counselor. So maybe... You know, some of this belongs on Ridley Scott's shoulders as well, as far as anyone who doesn't like it. But let me talk about what worked for me. I thought all the acting performances were really well done, man. Like Chris said, even Cameron Diaz, who I've found as like a passable actress at times, and most of the time I feel like just about anyone could have done a lot of the roles that she's done in movies. Like, she doesn't really do a lot of you know, only Cameron Diaz could have done that shit, but this was one of those movies where I was just like, wow.
The car sex scene was hilarious to me. It was hilarious, but it was also just fucking good acting on all parts. Mm-hmm. Harrier retelling the story, to Fassbender's reaction to the fucking story, to her actually in the, you know, having sex with the car. You're like,
I really couldn't believe they showed that. Right. I was expecting them to just be like, come on, guys. Cameron's too classy for this shit. We're just going to do like a, you know, he's going to give a monologue about it and we'll just kind of go, really? She fucked the car? That's weird. But then they show it and you're like, oh my God, Cameron Diaz's body double has some ass. And
that was the only time that I really had an emotional reaction to the movie, because I was like, I can understand how you can be kind of fucked up if your girlfriend did some shit like that. It's like, what do you do with that? And you tell your boy some shit like that and your boy's like, yeah, I really didn't even need to know that shit, yo. It's like, that was like one of the few real moments I had in there. So yeah, I completely forgot about that scene, but yeah, it was.
Another thing that worked for me is, I kind of like the idea of them reducing characters down to simply motivations. I thought that was kind of, you know, I know that it definitely makes it more pretentious to like it that because of this, but I like the idea of just counselor for Michael Fassbender. Do we really even need to know his name? Do we really even need to know what caused him to fucking get in this drug dealer shit? Like, nobody really cares when we go to the movies anyway. It's like, here's a fucked up situation and how people are navigating. And I kind of like the idea of like, let's not even come up with a bullshit backstory to this shit. Just, this guy's in a drug deal. He probably shouldn't be. All right. And everyone says, don't do it. He's going to do it. So I like that. I enjoy Brad Pitt's character, especially his death, because I wanted to see that thing from the second they described it. I was like, just it was getting close to the end and I was getting mad at the movie, but only because I was like, yo, they're not even going to show that fucking wire thing that they talked about to start the movie. And that's like a violation of all movie tropes to not bring that shit back. I also enjoyed the whole like predator prey relationships with everybody going on, especially Cameron Diaz's character. And it felt like to me the scene where Javier Bardem loses his shit because she fucked that car was him coming to the realization that he was the rabbit and she was the cheetah. Mm-hmm. Where he's just trying to just like I'm in over my head. I don't understand this woman at all. I think I want to be with her, and she doesn't even fucking view me as an equal. She views me as something to be fucking devoured. So those themes and stuff really, I really enjoyed that. I also thought the action was filmed well, like the shootout shit. I wish we could have got more of that. And the last thing I thought worked really well is, JL said, the impending sense of doom that you get as you watch this movie, and the fact that they delivered on it and didn't like cop out like most movies like puss out, and then like Fassbender would, you know, break into somebody's drug dealer compound, kill 17 Mexicans and get the fuck out of there with his girl. That just never happened, and I was kind of glad that didn't happen. So all right, let's talk about the other part. The other side of the coin, guys. I don't think this is a perfect movie. Let's talk about what did not work for this movie. I will have JL go first, man. What did not work for you with this movie?
Okay, well, first that comes to mind, and like I said, because I really liked it, off, and I saw it obviously I saw it like opening night or opening day, so my memory isn't. But leaving the theater, all I could really think was Fassbender's accent sort of comes and goes. Like even in the clip you played, his sort of Irish accent leaks in into that clip. Mm-hmm. I believe he's Irish, or you know, whatever sort of United Kingdom sort of accent he has. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I'll let Chris, I can tell Chris is going to have a ton to say because I really just, and then maybe what you talked about, you know, narrowing the characters down to motivations. Mm-hmm. I think one could look at it and say, okay, this is what happens when you get, you know, a novelist writing his first screenplay. He still thinks it's a book that he's making. And there are obviously adaptations that need to be made. And like you said, it could be a little perceived a little pretentious for its obvious kind of goal of making these characters sort of literary rather than real.
Yeah.
But I really liked the way it played out. So other than Fassbender's acting, I liked what the movie was doing, and it gave me what I wanted on a happiness level, but as a movie watcher.
Yeah. Well, I will say too, when you were talking about like the accents and stuff, like Javier Bardem's accent threw me off sometimes too, because I just couldn't understand him sometimes.
Right.
But
he's like at an Arnold Schwarzenegger level where he's just allowed to be whatever his natural accent is, right, with no explanation for why he talks differently than everybody else.
Yeah. It felt like he was trying to do an accent almost. But not really. You know what I mean? Like, is he doing an accent on top of his accent, or is he not doing
that? He had the Inception accent, where it was an accent on top of an accent.
Yes.
And type shit. Yeah.
And the novelist thing, I think is a major point, because the things that I didn't like about the movie, I think were all because this guy, and I didn't know at the time that that the guy was a novelist who wrote this, but you know, reading more and hearing people talk about it, I was like, okay, well, now this starts making more sense. And it does feel a little pretentious. It feels a little bit like the last, and this is not to say this movie is this bad, people, but follow my analogy. It feels a little bit like the last episode of Lost, where they did that 2-hour special before Lost, the last episode aired, and the directors and shit came on, and they were like, we just realized that no one really cares about the story. They just care about the characters. It felt a little bit like that with some of the scenes where they were like, you know, does it even fucking matter why he's selling drugs? He shouldn't be, okay? And you're like, okay, all right, well, I'll buy that. And then some people are going to go, fuck you. That's not a complete character. So I can see how people would, you know, flake out on that. Chris, man, what did you not like about it?
Well, the funny thing is, you guys both mentioned, which is really just my biggest complaint, which ruins the entire movie for me. Cormac McCarthy should never write a fucking screenplay. He is fucking terrible at it. The screenplay is bad. I mean, I get, like, when you guys were going through what you liked about the movie, I could actually nod my head and be like, okay, I can see that. The problem for me is, it's just a really bad screenplay that you can tell was written by a guy who wrote books. Cause I would love to read the book for this, probably would be okay with it. But he basically took that book and turned it right into a screenplay, and really Scott was basically like, oh, fuck it, we'll shoot it. And that's what they did. And so you miss a lot of the enjoyment that you should get from as a movie watcher. You don't get that stuff. So it's like I'm watching a book, and it comes off so pretentious to me because, like, I can, because they, this, the way the screenplay is written, it was actually too predictable for me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you can't be pretentious and predictable. So about 30 minutes in the movie, I was like, oh, God, I know what's going to happen. And so I go the rest of the movie going, yeah, that's going to happen there.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to do this.
They do kind of do the reveal that Makena is the behind all this shit so early. Like, it really felt kind of or at least the way that they filmed it made it seem like she's the obvious Cobra, like when they're about to do the drug heist thing and they're about to kill the guy on a motorcycle, and then they cut to him, the guy being on the phone calling someone, and then they cut to her answering their phone and being like, okay, we'll get it done, hanging up, and you're like, isn't it only like 30 minutes into this shit? You guys not gonna leave any mystery?
So you know what the scene that really did it for me though? Then I was like, oh god, they're laying this on too heavy. There was the first time that Michael Fassbender's character goes to meet Brad Pitt. And like I said, I actually like Brad Pitt and his character in this movie. But at one point you're going, okay, dude, this is the third time you've been told that you're not cut out for this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still doing it. It's like, I would rather them either not tell him he's not cut out for this shit, or, you know, it's just like they keep telling me, oh, he's not cut out for this shit. Hey, did you see a message? He's not cut out for this shit.
Yeah, it feels like this is my belief anyway, and I guess I'd have to talk to the director to even prove it, but it feels like they said, we know how movies normally go for people, and the guy normally figures a way out of this shit. And we're just going to keep pounding the fact that this is really hard. He's not going to figure it out. And it's like, I feel like a lot of people in the audience won't buy that. Like they'll be like, oh, it's Fassbender. He'll fucking think of something. And then you get to the end and you're just like, yeah, that was it.
But here's where I disagree with that. Yeah. I actually like these kind of movies. Mm-hmm. And that's why the fact that this movie just rubbed me the wrong way, it feels bad. I actually like movies like this that make you go, oh, he's not getting out of that. Like, I wouldn't say I like No Country for Old Men, but I can watch it and be like, okay, because in that movie, I at least feel like as an audience member, the director still gives me some kind of something to latch on to. In that case, it was Javier Bardem being like a sociopath when it comes to being a contract killer. So it's like, I have something to be like, okay, yeah, this other guy might not get out of it, but at least I have something there that I can kind of get some enjoyment out of. And this one, I hated every single one of the characters. That's why I said at the beginning that, you know, I like the fact that they told me that at least one of the cats lived. The cat is, those cheetahs were the only characters that I really gave a shit about, other than Brad Pitt's character. And then, because of the way they wrote it, it's just...
So their charisma had no effect on you at all, like as actors or whatever?
No, I mean, they were all like, okay, like as act, that's why I said their acting is really great. Mm. But as characters, like, I didn't give a shit if they died.
Yeah.
Except for Brad Pitt's character, until I asked myself, I was like, why is he even there? Because if you remember in the movie, he told the other guy, was like, yeah, if I need to, I can get out of here. I can be living in a Buddhist temple somewhere, you know, with nothing else, and they'll never be able to, you know, he said that. And so you get to the end of the movie, and he's fucking some random chick who then goes to his laptop and gets
from Game of Thrones.
It's like, yeah, she was looking pretty good.
So it was like, okay, so once they showed him like taking forever to get out of the country, I was like, okay, he's gonna die. He's gonna have the thing put around his neck. He's gonna die that way. And I'm like, why? It's like they set up these characters to kind of have the way out, but then they never take them. But then it just like, it's just a really messy screenplay that just isn't enjoyable to me. But I actually can see how people can would like it, because it's like all these other films that are like this. When you have a film like this, they can always be pretentious. And it's like that line between satire and being offensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have to walk that line. And if you cross it too much, people are going to be like, yep, you're just being a pretentious douche and this movie sucks.
Well,
that's really, that, you know, and that's where it was for me. Mm-hmm. Just cross over the line where it just, we finished the movie. And the funny thing about this is when they did the screener for us,
mm-hmm.
just critics. And when we left the thing, even the critics that you knew were going to give it a good rating were struggling to find good things to say about it because they want to be like, yeah, I just didn't enjoy it. And that's what we told them. We're like, just say you didn't enjoy it. Like, I came out of the theater going, wow, I really want to like this movie. It just did nothing for me. It preached to me. It was pretentious. And I got zero enjoyment out of it. Yeah, I get to see some funny things with, like, the car sex scene and, you know, people were dying. But other than that, it was just like, okay, that's going to come.
Well,
like,
the other thing, though, before you go on, you started this by saying you disagree with me. We don't disagree about... that I said, I think the directors thought they were making a movie that everybody would be like,
okay,
oh, it's gonna work out, and then it wouldn't, and that would be the twist. You know what I mean? Like the twist, like the movie doesn't really have a twist per se because it's kind of straightforward,
right?
But they thought the audience expectations would be the twist, which would be like, oh my god, you gotta go see The Counselor, it's mind-blowing. They actually go through with, you know, killing this dude, and
right,
you know,
it's one of those, like, you can enjoy a fake out sometimes, but like right. the entire movie is like that. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop. You're like even at the end of the movie, before they cut to black, and she's in there talking to, I guess, the other banker. Like, I have no idea who the guy she was talking to at the end.
Yeah, yeah. That's another thing. This movie has a lot of casting where it's like banker.
Right.
Like, you know, like young biker. Right. So
she's talking to him and she's having this conversation because there's always a lot of these monologues in this movie too. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but everybody has a story to tell.
Yeah.
And like even when they're talking about how the dude, the Mexican mafia dude was talking to Fassbender about how he couldn't help him.
Yeah.
It was like a story, but like, yeah, you know, and it's like, at some point you're just like, okay, dude, enough with the fucking story. Just tell him he's not going to get his girlfriend back.
Right.
Just tell him it's not going to happen and let's move the fuck on. But so he's talking to this dude. I'm waiting for her to like kind of give me some kind of twist. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe she did all this because Javier Bardem's character like wronged her in the past. Like, I just wanted something like, tell me something, fade to black. And I was just like,
but see, that was, I guess for me, I was okay with it because I felt like, I was supposed to be like, oh, she's the cheetah. Like, she just did it because cheetahs eat rabbits. She didn't give a fuck about anything. And I don't know if that's a satisfying conclusion, but narratively, that was what I took from it. JL, is that what you took from, you know, that character, Makena?
Well, what I was going to say is I thought there was like, and I couldn't help, and maybe this is because I saw it knowing that Cormac McCarthy wrote it. So I kind of knew to expect a kind of novelist approach to it. Mm-hmm. I meant to jump in before, but the thing I liked about the movie was that, and you've kind of touched on it. And I guess this is where we differ just because I kind of agree that this is the way the movie played out, but I enjoyed it was the sense of dread and the kind of hope against hope as an audience member that I am rooting for Fassbender and Penelope Cruz because she seems like a nice person. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know all these unspeakable dangers are creeping in. And I'm kind of like, I hope they get out.
Yeah.
And when they don't get out, it was like the writing was on the wall, but I still kind of enjoyed the experience. Like, and I enjoyed kind of the ride and the sort of depression of like, when you find out that she was basically murdered and raped in a snuff film.
Yeah.
That's like like, it's like, yes, it was all predicted, but you really just, as an audience member, I think we're supposed to just sit there hoping it wouldn't happen.
Right.
I think that's.
And, I'm sorry.
Oh no, go ahead and finish.
No, and then the other thing is with Cameron Diaz's character, I think there was a lot of like, you know, symbolism, like, you know, the cheetahs don't eat the person, you know, there's like a dead guy lying there. And the idea that like these wild animals are somehow more dignified than humans, I felt like that was hit on the head a little bit, you know, like they were trying to pound that in with kind of symbolic shots. But I just took it as, yeah, she was a kind of a vicious animal.
Yeah.
And just it was almost like, I don't want to say she wins, but it's like the kind of idea of like, yeah, the person with the least moral center wins. I don't know.
That's the thing with me. I actually wouldn't. I'm okay with that. I was here. Funny thing about the snuff joint when he gets the disc. Mm-hmm. So when the kid drops the little
Hola. Yeah.
I already knew that it was a snuff film, and I immediately in the theater I start laughing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's, and that's the problem with the film for me is, like, I started laughing. I wasn't like, oh my God, I knew what it was, and I was just laughing because I was like, she did a snuff film. Because it's like, I did not care about these characters, and I actually had by that point, I wanted Fassbender's character to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem.
Oh man.
Yeah, because he was such a douche. Like, he was told beforehand, hey, man, you have no idea what you're doing. And he was like, oh, no, I'll be all right. He had no backup plan. Like, he was not a likable character and somebody you would root to. Like, I was not rooting for him to come in and save the day because I was like, oh, no, you're not going to be.
Well, you know, also.
He's very debonair and Penelope Cruz loved him. That was good enough for me.
Right. Well, you know, also, it was a director's choice for him to be that way because they don't tell you what trouble he got into that would make him take this crazy chance. So I can see an audience being like, oh yeah, this guy wants to be a drug dealer. He's in over his head, and this is what happens to fucked up people, you know, people that do drug dealing shit. Like, I could kind of understand why, you know, yeah. I think if they would have added a backstory to, like, some of these characters where you could get more familiar with their motivations, the audience would root for them a little harder. Because this is the second Ridley Scott film I've watched, recently where I turned on the characters too and was just like, yeah, man, fuck them. You know, like, that's how I dealt with it was, I, like, when Fassbender got the tape, I was like, yeah, fuck him. He was in over his head. Everyone told him not to do it. And,
wow.
He just kept going. Like,
and even if it wasn't like giving more background on the characters, just give me some more substance to, an overall motivation. Like, I get the whole she's a cheater, they're the prey, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I still wanted to know, like, okay, why them? You know, why mm-hmm. this group of people? Understand you're the, like, how did you know about West Wraith or whatever the, cause once she couldn't, remember once they stole the drugs, the drugs got stolen back by the Mexican mafia. So she was like, well, I already know where the money's going to. And so she went and stole the money from Brad Pitt's character. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, so my thing was, well, why are you stealing the money from him to begin with?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, and then, like
things
I said,
like that just made mm-hmm. me go, like, because they had all these little different pieces in there and they were like, it felt like this movie is very simplistic, but it's trying so hard to be complex with yeah. all these little pieces moving. But you're like, well, why don't you just do that?
It's like also like this was kind of like Prometheus for me though, because once I turned on the characters, that is when I started liking it. Like when I was kind of rooting for them, it was more difficult because I was like, I don't really know why they don't have to do this or take this crazy chance, and everyone's saying this is gonna go horribly wrong. But then when it was like, man, you shouldn't have been fucking with that fast bitch, I was okay. Like, I was like, oh yeah, Javier Bardem, you knew you were in over your head.
Oh yeah,
you should have got the fuck out of there immediately. And you guys are sitting around the back patio talking like the fucking cartel's not coming. So that, like, I was okay with it at that point, man. But we gotta get close to wrapping it up here, man. I don't want to keep everybody too long. So Let's go ahead and give it our overall rating, man. On the More Epic Than Love Jones scale from 0 to 5. 0 being, of course, man, fuck you. And 5 being the fuck you waiting for to go see this shit. What would you give it, Chris?
Oh man, I'm thinking of my original 0, man. I got no enjoyment from it, and I'll never watch this film again. I just can't. Okay. I just it was that bad to me. Okay. Like, I left the theater and I was just like, why did I waste my time?
All right. And, JL, man, that was sounding like an incredulous laugh. So I'm assuming you're not going with 0.
No way. Well, I want to know, what's a 4?
A 4 is, something you would pay full price opening weekend for.
I'm going to go 4.
All right. Full price opening weekend. JL did pay full price opening weekend and, he actually enjoyed it. So, me personally, I'm going to go with $5 AMC Before Noon Special Matinee, which is number 3, 3 More Epic Than Love Jones, because that's actually exactly how I saw it. And I saw it after hearing both of your takes on it, loosely without spoilers or whatever. And I was like, I have to see it because two people I respect have such a divert, like just completely different opinions on it. I walked out in the middle, man.
You know what I think we have, honestly, because I don't think our analysis has been as far off as our feelings about the movie. I feel like this is one of those cases where I just feel like I emotionally responded and liked it. Like, in other words, we both kind of saw some of the same critiques and some of the same strengths in the movie, but I just sort of liked what I was given. And it seems like Chris hated what he was given.
Well, ironically, I didn't even say what I didn't like about the movie. Because I was letting you guys go on, but I meant to say, I won't repeat anything you guys say, but just nobody talks like that was the only thing I didn't like about this movie. No one fucking talks in paragraph form that. And it was like, and it was especially excruciating because Bardem's accent was so thick for me. When he would go on for a paragraph, I'd just be like, okay, man, you lost me like 2 sentences in. You guys got to wrap this shit up, you know?
You know what? No bullshit, though. I mean, as much as I said I hate the film, and when you came to me, Rod, about, you know, talking about the film, I already knew it wasn't really going to be a Transformers 5, I mean, a Transformers 3 discussion like we had with Knockdown, Dragout. Because I knew this is one of those films where I think Rod's rating is actually the correct rating, which is a 3. Like, I would actually recommend people just go see it for yourself. Because it's one of those films that you're either going to feel like I feel and be like, God damn this movie. Or you're going to be like, wow, you know what? Wasn't that bad. I could actually enjoy it. It's like, it's that thin line that you get between these kind of films where if they, it depends on the audience. It's like whether the film goes too far into being pretentious or if it's just enough that you can find some enjoyment from it. So I think your rating is actually technically the middle of the road rating is about right.
Well, you need to, like, here's the thing that for me, that you need to connect with Fassbender's character on some level. And I just have a man crush on Fassbender. Like, it took me to, there was like 1 hour and 30 minutes to be like, wait a fucking minute. This guy's a fucking idiot. Like, it was like, cause I kept being like, well, it's Michael Fassbender. He's going to have like some type of loophole or.
He was acting his ass off, dude.
And then when that nigga was crying in the car, dog.
Yeah.
When he was like, please. When he was talking to the Mexican architect, dude, you know, from Matrix 2. Like if the second Matrix, how they had the architect dude, the vis-a-vis guy, they had like the Mexican architect dude at this one where he was just like, well, that happened because you made this choice and the choices so and so. And, by the way, the worst line of the movie has to be when that guy hangs up and when he's like, I might take a nap. Click. I was like, God damn, who writes that? But yeah, man, now I think that's the thing. You got to connect the Fassbender and want him to like, be with Penelope Cruz and then have that taken away from you as a movie watcher.
Yeah.
And that's how I watch it. That's how it works on you. And for an hour and 30 minutes, I was like, man, these kids, it's a crazy world. They're just trying to make it. And then like right when she got kidnapped, I was like, wait a minute. This is kind of his fault. Fuck him. Like, you didn't have to do any of this shit.
I'm sorry, we forgot to mention the funniest part of this film is when she calls him and he knows they're in trouble. He goes, let's go meet in Idaho.
Yes.
It was like, listen, you didn't talk to Brad Pitt's character Wesley and he didn't told you that if shit goes south, you need to get the fuck out of the country.
Right.
You're going to go to Idaho.
Yo, and she didn't, the other thing about Penelope Cruz's character is, they made her so like perfectly great. Yeah. She wouldn't even have cared or wanted whatever the money was from drugs. Like she was like, we can live in a hut. I don't give a fuck. Like I just want to be with you and you can eat my pussy. I've never even come until I met you. Right. And now you're the best thing ever. And so
like, can you imagine if just some regular rough dude. She would have been like living with him like on a McDonald's salary.
She didn't give a fuck, man. The only thing that really, the saving grace of like, I think the thing that would have like actually put this movie into like another stratosphere for like critical either acclaim or disregard would have been if they showed that snuff film.
No, I'm telling you, that
would have changed. That would have had the audience either bawling in tears or throwing coke at the screen. No, in between.
No bullshit. When they didn't show it and they just assume, and then they kind of show her body kind of in the dump.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, fuck this movie. Cause I was like, wait a minute. You done shown everything else. You done shown a chick fucking a car, but you can't even find some way of filming that snuff film or at least alluding to it a little bit.
Yeah.
That you can't even, like, you show Brad Pitt getting his fingers chopped off as he's going for this thing that's about to cut his neck off.
It's a very
all that shit, but you won't show
it's
her
a
headless body and then head floated down into a trash right. heap.
And I they had told bad. And they had told us the story of what happens. Right. Right. I was okay. I didn't need to see. It's like the Michonne. It's like the Michonne shit with the governor. I don't need to see that. I'm good. Y'all just at keep it to yourself. Right.
Yo, I know this makes me a fucked up human being.
Yeah, you are a fucked up human being.
In order for them to win me back, they had already kind of lost me. I need to know.
You know what? I'm back on JL's side. I'm back on JL's side.
Yeah. The only thing I would say is I felt bad for Javier Bardem because even though most women find, you know, a lot of women find him to be attractive, not with that spiky hair, but with the kind of European sensibilities from Vicky Cristina Barcelona. When your woman is in bed with Michael Fassbender with all his handsomeness and assets, and then then you have to also watch your wife get like railed in a snuff film. That's too much for one actor husband, I think, to take in the same movie. Like, it's bad enough Fassbender is just going downtown on her, and maybe they filmed other sex scenes that didn't make the cut. But then to show her at the end in the movie you're co-starring in with her, to show her get raped and beheaded.
But actually, like, actually, for the record, it's beheaded and raped.
Right.
Like, it's even more fucked up. They're like, he raped the corpse. I was like, you know what, man? Don't show that. Don't show. I want to see the neck thing, but don't show this shit. I'm okay with this.
Like, what I mean by that, I didn't need, like, the whole, like, them raping scene, but at least cut her head off. Something. Like,
no, man. I'm good.
See her die.
Maybe next season of Game of Thrones will have that.
Yeah.
I mean, she was really the only, like, you didn't get enough of her. And the reason why I didn't say that her other character was the only one, other one I cared about is because you really don't get enough of her. And so I didn't really build enough of I care about this character. But she was really the only other one that was innocent other than the two fucking.
Well, everybody has a sin, and her sin is that she ignored all the signs.
She was dumb as shit.
Yeah, they kept having those discussions. It's like, why are you even hanging out with a bitch like Makena? When Makena is like, wow, like she sees that ring, like, you wanna know how much it costs? She's like, no. She's like, what a world. She's like, you think the world is funny? She's like, yours is. And I'm like, see, that right there should tell you, like, my husband hangs out with some bitches. I really need to not.
She got Cheetah put tattoos on her side.
Yeah.
But your husband hangs out with some chick like that?
Right.
Yo, dude, no.
You don't wanna know who your husband's drug dealer friend is. All right, well. I guess you'll be getting beheaded and raped. No, just another day in Saudi Arabia. Man.
Last thing before you get out of there, and I just love the fact that they just pulled John Leguizamo and the dude Hank from Breaking Bad and put him in a scene.
Yeah, for no reason. Actually, probably my favorite scene in the movie.
No, the second favorite scene, yo. Because it was a good conversation. I'm like, oh, so what are they gonna do? And never came again. It's like
car fucking, and then that scene. Those are great. I was like, is there gonna be an ambush where they die or something? Nah, it's just 5 minutes of these dudes, kicking the shit about dead bodies in barrels and drug dealing. I was like, I thought there was gonna be like, didn't y'all think there was gonna be a heist or something there?
Something, y'all, they did nothing.
I don't know, I actually enjoyed that. I was like,
y'all, that's a good conversation, but I was like, so, who's the body?
It felt kinda Tarantino-esque. Like, this doesn't matter, but I like the way it's writing and I like these actors. And I was happy to see both those guys get a check. All right, we got to get out of here. Make sure you guys check out JL Covan at the Righteous Prick podcast. And like I said, he has movie reviews on YouTube and stuff like that. Very entertaining person. And also support the Comedy Academy, man. Go to Indiegogo.com and search the Comedy Academy.
Thank you.
No problem, man. And also make sure you guys support Chris at movietrailerreviews.net. They're constantly putting out movie related news, trailers, movie reviews, TV show reviews now. And the Insanity Check podcast. Check that out too. Thank you both of you guys for coming out and doing this. JL, I promise I'm gonna get you on here one day where no one's gonna argue with you. It's just gonna we're all gonna like the movie.
That's fine. I let the people have a balanced perspective and make the decision for themselves.
All right, sounds good, man. Maybe it'll be my go-to argue guy then. And we'll be back. Well,
I didn't say I want to only but you know, if that's the way it is, that's fine.
I'm only gonna check out JL's reviews when I'm like, ooh, Rotten Tomatoes disagrees, let's get them on. but make sure you guys continue to check out the show and support us. We appreciate it. We'll see you guys again soon. Peace.
Get your act together. My life's a movie. I leave you in that act forever.
Life's like a movie. My life's like a movie. My life's like a movie.